Povedzie.
Povedzie.
You see, everybody got a story to tell. Well, here's mine. My pain's deep, I've been through hell. I managed to survive, so I got a story to tell. Listen, I stand victorious, make the sign of the cross. Look, I'm here to be the voice for every friend I've ever lost. Let me pray as I put together my hands. I've never been ashamed to tell you the person I am. When it comes to doing drugs, I've never been a rookie. But hold up, let me tell you about the places that they took me. I haven't showered, it's been possibly a week. And I'm so deep in a psychosis, impossible to speak. That coke is in my arm, now it's impossible to sleep. My throat's numb, closed shut, so it's impossible to eat. Losing weight's a part of my daily routine. I always use against my will, just praying I was clean. So nod your head if you understand what I mean. When I was growing up, I never thought that I would be a fiend, ever. My life's tumultuous, it's never getting better. Another abscess from my arm is getting severed. My exquisite vision, depiction of dereliction. Livid living conditions, malicious on a mission. All these green tree cops, look, they all know me by my first name. Paramedics had to revive me to say a game. I've worn the same clothes for like the last 10 days. And look, I wanna do better, but I don't know a different way. Completely all alone, I'm sitting in this room. I empty out the bags, brown liquid in the spoon. I have to do a lot, can no longer do a little. The water's been added, I place the cotton in the middle. I'm sucking every drop up into this plastic device. As I am tying off, I'm trying to find a decent vein to strike. I shove it ever so gently up underneath my skin. As I'm pulling back the plunger to this blood in the syringe, I push it in and try to drift away to heaven. But criminals like me, that's never the place that we're headed. The guilt, shame, remorse, and regret I never address. And I'm a mess from all this pain and this anguish. I'm filled with stress, overdoses, I'm emotionally broken. This ain't a joke. I'm smoking on a Newport, I never have any hope. This is me, I'm feeling like I don't deserve more. I feel disgusted as I'm pushing on this burnt shore. Someone stole the vinegar in the midst of a blackout. Another shooting gallery, another crack house. On the porch, welcome to hell, is on the floor, man. I'm glancing at my arms and all I ever see is sore tracks. I'm feeling filthy, dirty needles with the orange caps peeking out the window, someone whispers,
lock the door latch.
We're blasting off, departing from this mothership. I look around as others search the carpet for another hit. Crest whitening strips and Mach 3s. I'm on a suicidal mission till these cops try to stop me. We boosted every day, selling steaks for half price. Any dream I ever had was shattered by glass pipes. Glass rose, devil got me in his lasso. Enter the gates of hell and I didn't even have a passcode. I'm hard-headed, I would never learn my lesson. You know the drill, commit a crime and get arrested. The misery never ends, I spend another week in jail. I don't have friends, family never paid my bail. So I would withdraw and kick on that concrete floor. I feel I've had enough, but my body is screaming more. The food is horrible, but I haven't eaten in days. No reason to call home, cause I got nothing left to say. I'm tired of this jail, I don't ever wanna see prison. Look, I'm tired and exhausted from this life that I am living. I would get a couple days clean and say that I was done. But every time I got released, I was back on the run. It's back to thieving, lying, robbing and ripping and running. These problems, I don't solve them, I'm crippled and sick to my stomach. I hang with prostitutes and these deadly degenerates. I'm homeless for the moment, but that's really quite irrelevant. The only thing that matters in life is my next high. I gotta be willing to change and give it my best try. I'm a servant and this heroin's my king. I'm feeling like a slave as I dangle from these puppet strings. I'm just a marionette, I'm staring at death as I am carrying regrets that are just tearing through my flesh. We're dealing with a topic we're so careless to neglect. We're dealing with a dilemma leaving every parent stressed. I'm so sick and tired though of being sick and tired. But then it finally happened, motivated by desire. I hit this point, I wanted to change. Enough is enough, my efforts been exhausted and I'm tired of being stuck. My faith is never blind and my future I barely see. But overnight was open-minded, I had this moment of clarity. So it begins and it's essential, I believe. Cause if it worked for you, then it just has to work for me. Through all this pain, there's gotta be a positive message. I talked about the past, now let's talk about the present. I'm no longer living that way, for me it's a blessing. But with one bad decision, I am back in that obsession. And 03 was diagnosed with hepatitis C. I utilize the bad, it's always been the fuel for driving me. And then you ask me, why do I give this my all? I'm not trying to see rest in peace on my Facebook wall. I got clean in 05 and started rapping. I started touching lives, I never thought that this would happen. This shit today, trust me, it isn't heroin. It's killing everybody in the comments are disparaging. No one cares or gives a fuck that I'm clean. For them, another deadly overdose is just something to see. Look, I pay attention to every post that I read. As you were sitting there judging in front of your your iPhone screen. Talking about these dying addicts and how they are worthless, and if they put a needle in their arm then they deserve it. But that's someone's mother, someone's uncle, someone's daughter, and that's someone's aunt, someone's son, and someone's father. As I rap, the shit is giving me chills, and I'm speaking off experience, that's how I know it's real. These ignorant motherfuckers will say it's not a disease, and look, I really don't care, you can believe what you believe. I don't care to argue, I don't gotta give you proof. Listen, I was taught you don't gotta defend the truth. Incurable, progressive, and fatal unless arrested. I'm expressing aggression with every sentiment confession. Once a junkie, always a junkie, you're boring me. The last time I checked, there's one ultimate authority. I'm sick of these remarks and opinions from all these critics, cause if you've never lived it, then trust me, you'll never get it. Be quiet, you're not allowed to speak about it. If you've never lived it, then you're not allowed to speak about it. How often you forget, the only time that you should ever open your mouth is to eat a dick. Everybody is dying, it makes me sick. This isn't an epidemic, this is more like an apocalypse. So when I struggle, it's only right that I fight, and my experience recites on how that diamond saved my life. Look, you don't got a clue what I've been through. When I was at my worst, you couldn't walk a mile in my shoes. I survived a lot, so it's only right that I smile. When I'm aware of my surroundings, I'm no longer in denial. I'm blown away by every message that I get. It gives me motivation, it's the reason I never quit. We gotta do this together, we must trust. There's no you, there's no me, there's just us. I'm doing this with courage, I'm doing this with pride. I'm doing this for every single friend that's ever died. I dedicate this song to anyone that's lost a loved one. So live your life, cause tomorrow may never come. Be grateful for your past, embrace it, don't get embarrassed. Every day there is more children growing up without their parents. I felt pain, look, I'm not afraid to cry. My life changed once I was willing to try. I've been given many chances, now it's truly do or die. I'm doing what it takes so my daughter will never see me high. I'm doing what it takes so my daughter will never see me high. I'm doing what it takes so my daughter will never see me high. I'm doing what it takes so my daughter will never see me high. I'm doing what it takes so my daughter will never see me high.
Good morning, good morning on the day after Martin Luther King's birthday. Yeah, you do your service yesterday. God bless all of you. I'm doing my best not to get high. Kalichi, drug addiction. Boy, that brother can go. He's talking about me. Even though we're from different times, he is talking about me. I suffered those casualties when I was out there. So Kalichi, drug addiction. You're listening to Recovery Radio, and welcome to the show this morning. I hope you're tuning in, and you want you to sit back. This is a therapy session, is what I call it. That's why I started off with that song, Kalichi, about drug addiction and what happens when you decide to put heroin in your arm, put it up your nose, smoke crack, do anything that diminishes your capacity to make sound and good, wholesome decisions in your life. This morning, our topic is going to be about marketable. Addiction is marketable. I want you to put that on your little notepad up in your brain. Addiction is marketable. I'm going to open it up for you and set the stage for what we're going to be talking about this morning. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to start by looking up the word marketable. And what does it mean? Okay, let's look up marketable and get the definition of that. And in the meantime, you know, the young man was singing about what I love about rap music and excuse me, and poetry. We all can agree that some of the music that comes out, some of the lyrics are things that people have experienced. They're talking about their life's experiences, and so that's one of the reasons I really like that song, Drug Addiction, because everything it seems to be marketable. And what do I mean by being marketable? That means that you're preparing something to be purchased. Your addiction is marketable. And I'm going to share something that I read in the New York Post. It says, "We all know addiction is a disease. It has been so classified by all the authoritative sources. The American Medical Association labeled alcoholism an illness back in 1967. drug addiction, heroin addiction, opioid addiction, alcohol addiction, it's all marketable, because if you don't need counseling, then the counselors become irrelevant. If you don't need drug court, then drug court becomes irrelevant. Not that the people who run these organizations are irrelevant, but the services would become irrelevant. So they market you. You're very marketable. Your addiction needs to be fueled so that it can be gotten ready for the marketplace. Kalichi, he talks about drug addiction and what happened to him. You know, he's a very young man. It sounds like he was talking about Rikers Island in New York, a place that I spent some nights. And you go in, and the first thing you do is turn your clothes inside out, because you're going to be camping out on a hard, cold floor. And he was talking about kicking, because he didn't have family and people to come in and bail him out in most cases. You go there and you detox, but as soon as you get out, as soon as you go through rehab, you're back out running. And so that was the cycle of his life. And I chose that song, excuse me, because it reminds me of me. You know, the process that takes you down into the dark deepness is the same. Some of the things, the game has changed, but the process that delivers you into the abyss is the same. It's a dark place. You know, it destroys families. The Center for Disease Control, the Diagnostic and Statistics Manual of Mental Disorders and Alcoholics Anonymous, urges us to think of alcohol and drug addiction as a disease. And the article goes on to talk about some of the great minds, Oprah Winfrey, Russell Brand, Joe Biden. They all agree that recognizing addiction as a disease, It's a disease. They recognize, they put forth a disease act, addiction as a disease act. And guess what? It never came up for a vote. Why? Because it's not marketable when they move you into a certain framework of words. I started shooting heroin in the 60s. Why wasn't it? It's the same thing. Why wasn't it a disease then? Why did they wait so long? You know, I believe that the problem is not that many of us are dying. The problem is there's not enough of us dying. So they have to find a new marketplace. You become marketable. And that's what has happened. It is coming out of the shadows. But the good thing about it, I want to share it with you today, is that there's a highlighter. There's emphasis being placed on the consequences that this country suffers as a whole when we market addiction. It becomes a product. It becomes a livelihood for a lot of people, a lot of jobs. If addiction was all of a sudden cured and gotten rid of, people would have to redirect a lot of the resources. People would be out of a job, or they have to reinvent themselves. I want to share something with you here. It says, heroin addiction is a disease. Heroin addiction is not a disease in a metaphorical sense, even though it infiltrates communities, destroys families, and costs governments and healthcare systems millions of dollars every year, and is certainly a disease in that sense. It is also a medical disease. Here's what I like, because if you're marketable, excuse me, and your disease is a commodity, and you're marketed, it stands to reason that you have to keep an eye on the marketplace. Yes, it destroys families, and it creates problems for the healthcare system, the government. It just costs everybody. It has a domino effect. So there's no such thing as you're untouched. Even though you might be on the wrong side of this disease epidemic, you're still not untouched. The chemical changes that occur in the brain when heroin is used continue and become semi-permanent, at least when heroin abuse becomes chronic and turns into heroin addiction. Physical dependence and psychological cravings are entwined in the brain, and even the user undergoes heroin detox. those changes remain. That's a marketable commodity. That information is something that the profiteers, they take a look at that, all that information. Well, we here on Recovery Radio would like to get the information out, get the truth out, get the facts out, so that you can know that probably and more than likely your current condition, your circumstances as it applies to heroin and opioid addiction is not your fault. You're probably a commodity to someone. You are marketable. Your misery is being marketed, and there's enough guilt to go around. You know, somewhere along the line, you know, I picked up heroin and I couldn't put it down for 30 years because I, you know, they somebody's marketing plan really worked. It worked in my community. They marketed this stuff, and they market in human misery. The thing is that it has evolved, and so more people who were caught up in the 60s and the early 50s and even beyond that have had a change of heart. They've decided to turn away from this pestilence, and so they have to find a new marketplace. Hint, hint, guess what? The new marketplace is now in the suburbs. It's out in the countryside. It's in the backwoods, in the barns. People who are affluent are getting their hands on this poison, and it's locking them in and keeping them locked in for years and years and generations to come. It says here that physical dependence and psychological cravings are entwined in the brain, and even the user undergoes heroin detox. Those changes remain. Medical treatment is required in order for recovery, and continued psychological treatment and support groups are needed for the long term in order to sustain recovery. Heroin addiction is a disease. And this is from posted in the Drug Rehab, Heroin Addiction, Recovery, and Rehabilitation. This is not something that I'm just making up myself. However, I can talk to great lengths about what happened in my life, but I won't do that. I want to bring you the facts here on Recovery Radio. Heroin addiction is not caused by lack of willpower. It is not something that individuals do, but something they have. Remember this, to separate the person from the behavior and recognize relapse for what it is. Heroin addiction is not something that people do. It is something that they have. It is a disease. If your body is diseased with cancer, you don't go and do cancer. You have cancer, but you're a commodity. And so if you're a commodity, because it reaches into all parts of society, in the jails, incarceration. I mean, there's been some big bucks made off of you because you're marketable. You continue to be marketable. You're the best case scenario. If you're running around out there still addicted to these drugs, you know, there is help. Let me read on. Remember to separate the person from the behavior and recognize relapse of what it is. Relapse is a manifestation of the disease that the individual needs help fighting. Relapse is a manifestation of the disease. Manifestation of the disease. It evolves. It manifests itself into ideas. Your capacity to make sound judgments is greatly diminished. And I would venture to say, and I want you, if you're listening to this and you feel like you're the person to do some research, ask this question. Why did it take so long for the country to recognize addiction, heroin addiction, opioid addiction as a disease? They had to find a new marketplace. They had to find a new strategy. They had to find a new product. And you're expendable. That's why you're marketable the way you are. And they and the world, the country as a whole, you know, just don't believe that they're going to ever run out of that resource because it's marketable. It's marketed, the marketplace. You look at the marketplace, it's being flooded. All the rehab centers are popping up, and everybody is on the hunt for that big one, that big cure. And social media has become such a breeding ground for a lot of good behavior, but there's also, it's a breeding ground for those who are on the hunt. They want to be able to be the place that provides that magic bullet for opioid addiction. This place, I mean, you become marketable. Just go online and look at all the, just type in rehabs. Is addiction marketable? Type it into your Google search engine and see what you come up with and let me know about it. Let's talk about it. Let's discuss it, because I, for one, I've chosen not to be a commodity. I am no longer marketable. The brother that was just singing, Kalichi, he is no longer marketable. I invite you to become unmarketable in that sense and turn it around. You know, he took his pain and misery and turned it into a way to feed his family, I would venture to say, because it's a heck of a song that he was singing. He's spitting out a lot of truth, and I agree with just about everything that he said. And some of the things that he did, it reminds you geographically, if you ever been down in those dumps of a place in Harlem, you know, on 125th Street in Lenox, or over on Morningside, you sleeping in the park, waiting for the sun come up so you can go get a Little Debbie and a quarter water and a Lucy cigarette and start your day. That was my run, heroin addiction. So it says here, the individuals need help fighting. That's where we come in at, community of Berkeley County, Jefferson County, West Virginia as a whole. That's where we come in at. They need help fighting. Relapse or heroin abuse is an automatic response and a sign of addiction. It says relapse or heroin abuse in it is an automatic relapse is an automatic response and a sign of addiction, because the addiction, the disease, is fighting for its very survival. The marketplace, you're marketable. They're fighting for their very survival. That's why you're getting 50% of what you really need, community connections to help you get up out of that. And don't be a commodity to some of these places. I mean, there's some good ones around. I don't know them all, but what I've seen, you know, 50-50. I like some, and I, you know, there's downsides. But I think that, you know, to be in the game, if you have that business, if you're in the business of helping out and by providing whatever it is that you provide for a person who has a substance abuse problem, you're in the marketplace. You know, some of you will deny it and some of you won't, but it's a marketplace and it's a huge one. And it's, you know, whatever turn it takes, and whenever it takes to turn, those people who are chasing, not chasing the scream. You all are familiar with that, I'm sure, but chasing the dollar. And they have to be relevant. They have to stay relevant. They have to stay current, and they definitely cannot close up shop. The jails are never closed. They always have space. If they have to pack you in there 10 and 12 at a time, that's what it sounds like this young man was singing about in Rikers Island, you know, getting packed into a cell, not knowing, you know, when you're going to get out, sleeping on a dark floor. I wonder how the ERJ is. I mean, I've been hearing some information about that. That's the Eastern Regional Jail in Martinsburg, West Virginia. I've been hearing some stories, some horror stories about that place. But it's all the same all over the country. Its misery has become overwhelming. There are so many people who are addicted because you're marketable and you don't realize that you're marketable. But you can back out of that situation. You know, you don't have to remain a commodity. Nobody asked you to be that way anyhow. They just introduced it to you. Oxycontin. Here, take one of these. You'll be all right. It's not addicted. That is an out and out lie. And people are gravitating to that lie in the marketplace because you're a marketable commodity. And it goes further than whatever, you know, I can research. That's why I'm looking for so much help and people to come out and talk about these things. It says here that heroin addiction is a dangerous disease. It is. Heroin addiction is a dangerous disease, and it is the springboard for so many other complications that we have in the medical health field and the psychological field, with people needing psychological help, because it exacerbates it. You know, it seems that, you know, the thing about it is people think that, okay, if I just do it once, I'm going to be all right. You know, yeah, I broke my leg. I need 2 OxyContin. But you get that euphoria, and then you want to chase that same high. And you just keep chasing it. Like in my case, sometimes it takes you 30 years before you realize that you can never catch that same high. Just ask the dog who keeps chasing his tail. And he finally catches it. But when he catches it, what does he do with it? He got to let it go so he can chase it again. And that's the cycle that you're in when you're addicted to heroin. And you're marketable that way. Because they set up things for you to be able to stay marketable. Like, you know, you do a stint in jail, like I said, or you go to a sober living place, or you go to your NA or your AA meetings. All of that stuff is marketable. And I'm not saying that it's not needed, but you have to recognize it for what it is. Heroin addiction is a dangerous disease. It is not normal to live with heroin addiction. It is not an acceptable way to live. An acceptable way to live. You know, and I've been doing a lot of research since I've been in this field. And what amazes me is there are countries where acceptable living is altogether different than what it is for us here in the United States, or even here in West Virginia. Acceptable living, you're not acceptable when you're a certain way. And so that's where the stigma comes in. That's when we go underground, because we're not accepted for the disease that we have. If every person that caught cancer would be stigmatized and ostracized and pushed aside, you know, I don't know if people can just stop having cancer, but I'm for sure that you cannot just stop being addicted to heroin. You need help. You need my help. You need our help. See, he says in the song, it's not about I or me. It's about we. We need to work together. Life will be shorter than it would be otherwise. And the quality of life, this is, we're talking about heroin addiction. The quality of life for the individual will be considerably lower if heroin addiction goes untreated. I invite you to come in out of the rain right now. You know, I challenge you to just come in and talk to somebody about whatever it is that you're going to. And then there are those of us who are caregivers, or who are the parents or the spouses of a person with the disease of heroin addiction. There are places for you where you can go and get some kind of guidance, some kind of information, some kind of understanding, so that you can better be able to help the person who has got entangled, because the marketplace got them. They're marketable. As soon as you try this substance, it's marketable. As soon as you get some kind of unfortunate accident in your life, a back injury, a knee injury, some kind of football injury, you become marketable. And that's what has happened. That's why it has escalated out of control the way it is, and because we're looking at it the wrong, we're treating it the wrong way. Heroin addiction is a lifelong disease. You know, and when I read that, I said to myself, well, I don't know. It's a lifelong disease. So, you know, I've been not using heroin for well over 20 years now. And so this article is telling me that I still have the disease of addiction. And so that's another conversation. I would like to have an in-depth conversation, because I kind of differ on that, even with treatment. So I guess it can work both ways. I guess I'm still in treatment, because I'm kind of self-medicating right now in terms of positivity. I'm addicted to feeling good about myself these days. And one of the flip sides of being a heroin active user is that you begin to feel indifferent about yourself. And I don't feel that way any longer about myself. And I'm a long-term user, and in long-term recovery. Heroin addiction is a lifelong, even with treatment, heroin addiction will always be a risk for a heroin addict. Treatment can put the disease in remission and extended care options like addiction counseling. You're marketable. 12-step meetings, you're marketable. And relapse is a concern as long as the addict feels triggered to use and is a higher risk when he or she stops attending support groups and personal therapy sessions. Marketable. There's no cure for heroin addiction. Marketable. Treatment can help the heroin addict safely and healthfully stop using heroin and then provide him or her with the tools to remain sober after treatment. But it is not a cure. Let me go back over that again for some of you that might have missed it. Treatment can help the heroin addict safely get you some treatment and healthfully stop using heroin and then provide him or her with the tools to remain sober after treatment. After treatment, then what? That is what we talk about here on Recovery Radio. It is our desire here on Recovery Radio to prepare a place where you can sit and maybe think. And it's after rehab, then what? Where do you go? Young man called me yesterday. I spoke with him, and he's struggling with the possibilities that he's going to go back to using heroin or using drugs. It's relapse. It's on him, and he says he can't find a job. He got out of rehab. He can't find a job, so that's where we come in as a community. We need to find out. We need to engage this young man. So, I'm supposed to meet him this afternoon, and just keep us in your prayers. Heroin addiction recovery requires a great deal of effort and work on the part of the addict, and also a great deal of effort and work on the part of the caregiver, such as, I decided to go in this field for a reason, and that is to be able to give back. And one of the things that it requires is a lot of work, a lot of patience, to be me and invite this person into long-term recovery by just being who I have been for quite some time and who the person that so many others have been for quite some time. But we just have to come together and to engage people. If the relapse is serious, okay, let's go back. It doesn't have to mean a wasted trip. That's if you relapse. We're talking about relapsing there. A slip does not have to mean a return to heroin addiction. Recovery is very hard, but it's worth it. Even if you make a mistake and get loaded in early recovery after heroin addiction, it doesn't have to mean a wasted trip to rehab or that you've completely lost all that you've gained in recovery thus far. If the relapse is serious and reawakens a physical addiction, it may be necessary to re-enter heroin detox. So if you're feeling pressured, this is not an excuse to relapse, but there, if you're going to do that, if you've decided in your head, which for me, usually I was just looking for an excuse to go ahead and relapse, and that's what I did. But I'm not here to preach to the choir, because you know the path that you're taking. You know what your thinking is all about. You know for a fact if you're riding dirty today, you know the deal about that. So I don't have to, enlighten you or reintroduce you to the misery that you're about to cause yourself. But you can get back to a heroin detox. Now, I take it it's a little bit tricky around here in Berkeley and Jefferson County to get into a detox because there's none available in less than I don't know how many miles, but I would venture to say that at least 100 miles before you can get into a detox facility. And once you detox, the cobwebs clear is what I like to say. And then you can sort of be reintroduced to you. You can listen and hear some things that would maybe help you to decide that, as the songwriter was saying, that he's doing things for his daughter. And so his daughter don't have to see him getting high. So his family don't have to see him getting high. His mother, his father don't have to see him getting high. They don't have to worry about visiting him in the morgue. And it goes on to say that some may even feel that a long-term heroin relapse requires a trip back to inpatient rehab. I had to do it 7 times. But see, I had ulterior motives. It was the inpatient rehab for me was the VA hospital. And that was like a, yeah, I'm talking to my veterans, my retreads, as we used to call them. That was my safety net. You know, I would go into the rehab in the winter because it was warm. But boy, when the birds start chirping and the springtime kick in, I'm right back running again, just like my man was talking about in that song we opened up with, off and running. So I had to do it 7 times, you know, and I invite you to decide not to go that route, because there's a possibility that once this thing clears up for you after detox and all of that, there's a chance for you. But if you don't make it in, you don't make it in when you're healthy and strong and able and you have some kind of support system, you know, I would fear that you're going to, you might perish. And that's not what we want for you. And so let's take a break. I'm going to pull up a song for you. I like Andre Day, Rise Up, and I want you to listen to that for just a moment, and we're going to talk about that on the other end. Yeah, you take that in and listen to it, and we're going to talk about it on the other end. Yeah, big shout out to a lot of folks out in Martinsburg that's tuning in today, and if you got any questions, give me a call. But listen to Andre Day.
I met you in the dark. You lit me up. You made me feel as though I wasn't off.
Let's suppose that you're writing a really important email to a colleague.
Yeah, just listening to Recovery Radio and a couple of little glitches right here, but we in recovery here on Recovery Radio.
Broken down and tired.
I really enjoy
living
this
life on the merry-go-round, and you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out. Ooh, mountains. We gon' walk it out and ooh, mountains. And I'll rise like the day. I'll rise unafraid. I'll rise up, and I'll do it 1,000 times again. And I'll rise up, I like the waves. I'll rise up in spite of the ache. I'll rise up, and I'll do it 1,000 times again. The silence is quiet, and it feels like it's getting hard to breathe. And I know you feel like dying, but I promise we'll take the world to its feet. Move mountains, bring it to its feet. I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day. I'll rise up, I'll rise unafraid. I'll rise.
grateful that we have each other. I will rise a thousand times again, and we'll rise up. I like the waves. We'll rise up in spite of the ache. We'll rise up, and we'll do it a thousand times again.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoy the concept behind that. One of the captions is she's wheeling a young man out in a wheelchair. I guess he must have been paralyzed or something, but you know, he intends to walk again, and that's what I believe we here at Recovery Radio want for you. I want to share something with you in the New York Post about addiction. And remember, the topic this morning is that addiction is marketable. I want you to keep that out in front, because when something is marketable, there has to be something. And who are we marketing our product to? Addiction as disease is in some ways, addiction as a disease in some ways, a thoroughly American idea. It ties together how we approach medicine, with a precisely defined target and a definitive program to fight it, and our proudly tolerant spirit in which being judgmental is seen as a kind of vice. Plus, it opens up profit opportunities from sea to shining sea. If addiction is a disease, though, why do most addictions end spontaneously without treatment? Why did some 75% of heroin-addicted Vietnam vets kick the drug when they returned home? I'm a Vietnam vet. When I came home, emotionally, I was still addicted. The physical cravings were not there, but as soon as they were there, the disease kicked back in, and I was buying heroin on the streets in Newark, New Jersey. But, yeah, when I came home from Vietnam, which I had used heroin in Vietnam, but when I came home, I was strung out on anger. I guess the adrenaline of anger in the period in which I was there kind of soured my spirit, and I felt like I could self-medicate, and that's what I did for the next 30 years, or for the next 20-something years. It's hard to picture a brain disease such as schizophrenia simply going away because someone decided not to be schizophrenic anymore. Now, that's hard to imagine. Can you imagine someone with a disease of cancer, saying, well, I just don't want to do cancer anymore, and cancer goes away? Addiction is not a disease. It's simply a nasty habit, says neuroscientist Dr. Mark Lewis, himself a longtime addict and professor of developmental psychology in his new book, Exercise of the Will. Framing addiction as a disease seems like a concept perfectly suited to our times, because you're marketable. And yet it reaches back to Aristotle in 1913, during an era of heavy use of opiates. A book on narcotics urged doctors not to use the word habit, because habit implies something that can be corrected by exercise of the will. This is not true of narcotic disease. Therefore, it's not a mere habit and should not be spoken of as such. The man who is addicted to a narcotic drug is as truly a diseased man as one who has typhoid fever or pneumonia. In the 1950s, Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous helped advance this line of thinking by calling addiction a malady and physical sensitivity to alcohol an allergy. 12-step groups who are rigid about the disease theory requires members to adhere equally rigidly to the prescribed treatment at the risk of expulsion from the group. At times, this means intolerance for individual differences and turning a blind eye to epidemiological data. Turning a blind eye to epidemiological data. That's a tongue twister, wouldn't you say, John? For instance, AA teaches that any use of alcohol is likely to lead to a relapse into the problem drinking. But in fact, there are many recovered alcoholics who return to controlled, moderate social drinking. AA's approach isn't right for everyone. Even worse, AA is especially fervent about instilling in members the idea that they are powerless over alcohol. Well, this is just the opposite of teaching addicts to seize control of the future. I kind of think that's what I did. I said, hashtag stay stopped. I could stop. How could I stay stopped? This is the opposite of teaching addicts to seize control of the future. Most former addicts claim that empowerment, not powerlessness, was essential to them, especially in the latter stages of recovery. Well, well, well. Empowerment. Recovery Radio. We aim to empower you through our sharing, through our dialogue, through the idea of being open to suggestions, about the idea of not having FOBO. That's F-O-B-O. Fear of better options. FOBO. The writer also adds that people with excellent reasons to feel generally powerless in life, including minorities, women, the poor, and those with especially dismal family histories, are the ones most in need of reconceiving themselves as empowered individuals. I want you to stop right now what you're doing and reconceive yourself as having power, power enough to say to yourself, to challenge yourself, to hashtag stay stopped. Just stay stopped. I'm not asking you to just say no, because there are things along the way that you must do, you must indulge yourself in to hashtag stay stopped. It's not some magic bullet. And everything, the one thing that I know works for everyone is what my sponsor always tells me, but people have to be eased into that direction. You know, whatever floats your boat is what I like to say. It's an open question, the writer says, whether the disease nomenclature partially absorbed into the AA mainstream has alienated more members than it's helped. It may be that exercise of the will sounds unsatisfyingly simple. A too easy solution to what can be a monstrous problem. It also causes friction with a culture that extols technical knowledge, the expertocracy. That's a cute word. Reliance on experts is supported by both supply and demand sides. As customers, we love to think that if we have a particularly nasty problem, there is someone out there who knows exactly what to do. And the $35 billion addiction treatment industry is happy to take your money to help. You're marketable. You're marketable. As customers, we love to think what we say now in the cyber world is they got an app for that. They got an app for that. So the writer is saying that it's a very bad habit. Proponents of the disease theory have one talking point that they love to repeat before they hurry to change the subject. Addiction changes the structure of the brain. This may be enough to convince non-specialists, but to experts in the field, the claim that altered brain structure proves the presence of disease sounds ludicrous. The brain is a plastic organ. It changes when you age. It changes when you learn a new language or a musical instrument. The brain is constantly changing. It changes when you make a dismissive comment and you start to conclude that guy's a jerk. The brain changes because you made that comment. The brain is continuously reshaping its neural networks. It's like the Manhattan streetscape. Some are always under construction. If you're coming out of addiction, if you've gotten into a sober community, if you've decided this day that you're going to stay stopped, that means that you're under construction. Let it happen. Pick and choose. We here on Recovery Radio would like to invite you to consider some other options. The options that we have already are good, in my opinion. But there needs to be more options. There needs to be other pathways that are highlighted. We need to come together and conjoin and use the options that we already have, along with some other options. To say that addiction changes the brain is really just saying that some powerful experience probably occurring over and over forges new synaptic configurations. And that, so all of that gobbledygook you're not interested in this morning, but we're talking about the heroin addiction is a disease and it's marketable. Now, because how we see addiction is critical to how we treat it, the writer isn't suggesting telling addicts it's all in your head, get over it, but he views the mushrooming of rehab centers with unease. If these businesses actually succeeded in curing everybody, here's the hit, listen to this. If these businesses actually succeeded in curing everybody, they'd have to shut down. Calling addiction a disease is meant in part to emphasize the seriousness of being enthralled to drugs or alcohol, to elevate it to the level of a noble battle with cancer. To reject the disease label is not to demote addiction, nor is it to diminish sympathy for the addict's plight. It is marketable. When you consider that you're being marketed and you just get off that page, you just turn from that page and do your own marketing. Market yourself and walk in the way of a healthy and wholesome, behavior. It's doable. It takes, I'm encouraging, because I come from kind of like what we refer to as old school. I started shooting dope in 1965, 66, somewhere thereabouts. I didn't stop until late 80s, early 94, I believe, is when I actually stage stop. That's when I started. But it swept me off my feet. I mean, I fell in love with the euphoria and I couldn't get off. However, if you look at where did this drug come from? How did it get into our communities? Who saw the market? Let's do some research together. Let's find out when it first happened. You know, we have the technology now that I think we can trace that. We can find out about that. We find out, and we're going to hold somebody's feet to the fire. They have to be held accountable. Find out exactly who and who knew it and didn't say anything about it. You become complicit if you're out there listening. So, you know, I don't want to take anybody's jobs away from them, but life is more important. Life is much more important than some budget line item, and which is what some of the nonsense that they're putting at us. But I want to continue with this, rewriting the brain. The writer delves into a case study of addicts to illustrate different strategies people use to free themselves. And one of the strategies that I used was the language that I fed myself. I had to change the language that I was feeding on. I no longer felt powerlessness over the disease of addiction. I felt empowered because I see where I came from and I see where I am now and I envision where I'm going, where I'd like to be. And those are the things that I do. I'm a very disruptive person. My sponsor wasn't disruptive. He went in and turned over people's changing the tables that they were using to make money. He went in the place and turned over everything. That's kind of disruptive behavior to me. So my behavior is disruptive, but in a positive way. You know, I disrupt anger with joy. You know, I disrupt poverty with getting ahead and being not so impoverished. I'm no longer a victim. I disrupt that idea. I'm no longer predisposed, or I've never been that way. One gentleman said in Congress, I believe, that most people of color are predisposed to certain addictions. And he made that statement. He did. My friend is over here. He's laughing. But he made that statement. And so I just don't participate in it. I don't believe it. I know it's not true. Whether I believe it or not, it still is not the truth. A good friend of mine, Kimberly Crockett for Judge, by the way, Kimberly told me one time, she said, you cannot change the facts. You have to deal with them. And the fact is, addiction is marketable. All the signs and symptoms are there. Everything is there to prove to you or to show you that you're a marketable commodity as long as you continue in this cycle of recidivism, in this cycle of relapse, in this cycle of needing this counseling services that they offer. You know, they're good in the beginning. They're good in the beginning. But when will you get off that circle and not have to pay your hard-earned dollars to? Because I think they Medicaid and Medicare, they are tapping into that pot. You know, there's a well that they can draw from for these monies, these items, so that they can help you to establish some sort of long-term recovery in your life. And it's all necessary. I'm not saying that it's not necessary. It is, but it has taken a turn. And when you look at the marketing is not a bad word. It's really not. It's a tool that we use in the business world to put your product out there, to put your item out there, to become mainstream, to become known. You're marketing yourself. And that kind of reminds me of the people on safari. Now it's moved to the United States, and they use these animals, and then they use the heads as trophies. And somebody's always wanting that big one, that one-up. You know, I'm going to one-up you. I got a better rehab than you got. That's the marketing that goes on. I got a better system. This is the phraseology that they use. It's proven. It's been proven that this facility works. There's a medical term that they use for the technology or the system that they use. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna get ready to wrap it up now, and I hope something was said that can help someone today. And to my email, all the information that you need to contact me, I'm usually in Martinsburg, West Virginia. Just contact me and just holler at it. But let me know how I'm doing, and let me know what I can do, what information. Just send me some information, and I'll announce it on this show, okay? And so we're going to close out right now, and we try to use a song from Macklemore. We're gonna try some Macklemore as we close out this session. M-A-C, there we go, Macklemore. Yes, sir. We just listen to the words of the and all the individuals that do these songs, because Macklemore, we'll just play any one of his songs. He's really good. He's in recovery, and he's an artist that I listen to a lot about addiction and the struggles that he went through. And he made good on it. He's helping a lot of people, and so I like to play his music, and it's kind of soothing. It's very therapeutic. So here we go. I'll see you guys next week.
God! Dan, get in here. What are you doing here, honey? You made me cry. What do you want to do? Go outside and have a drink? No, you don't drink. Just me. I took up your habits.
Today, we're going to do whatever you want to do.
Oh, honey. And you know what? Anything?
Anything you want
to
do.
Oh, God, I want to do it all.
You know I'm back like I never left.
I never left.
Another sprint, another step.
Another step.
Another day, another breath.
Another breath.
Been chasing dreams, but I never slept.
I never slept.
Then the lease on life is a piece of mine. Seeking to find, I can sleep when I die. Want a piece of the pie, got the keys to the ride. And shit, I'm straight, I'm on my way. I'm on my way, get out my way. I'm running late, what can I say? I heard you die twice. Once when they bury you in the grave, and the second time is the last time that somebody mentions your name.